The power of the creative spirit of Kevin Eubanks when he picks up a guitar puts him at the center of any attention, whether it's trio, quartet, quintet, a large ensemble, or simply the way we're going to do it this morning, because he's agreed to hang out on Morning Jazz, is in the solo setting. Kevin Eubanks at WBGO, stay with us all morning. Thank you. growing up in Philadelphia, the timeline for Kevin Eubanks, a young man first attracted to music, with the violin, right?
Violin, man. Yes, sir. My mom had, she was teaching piano lessons, and one of her students, Julia, played viola, which I mistook for violin. So I had this huge crush on Julia. So while she went down to have her piano lessons with mom, I would just love all things Julia. So her, what I thought was a violin case, was sitting in the dining room. So I was saying, wow, I wonder what's in, you know, what's in that case, you know? And mostly it was just, you know, something to have to do with Julia. So I opened it up and I looked at the viola, and I, you know, later on I said, Mom, I want to play violin, because I thought it was a violin. They said, you don't want to play violin, don't do it, don't do it. I was 7 years old, you know. And I wound up playing violin for 7 years. And one of my musical regrets is that I stopped playing violin, which my parents foretold. And so I really regret having never continued with violin.
You know, that first instrument, man, it can have such, it can mold you and shape you in such a way. Yeah. You know, the drummer, Kenny Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Grew up on Staten Island.
Okay.
Started out playing the violin. Every day on the way home from school, he'd get beat up. Every day. So you know what he did? He got a pair of sticks.
Got a stick, some mallets.
And started playing the drums.
Some mallets. Shit, I can throw some cymbals at y'all.
That's right.
I'm odd job, baby.
Now come at me. I'll show you adoration.
I got a shield. I turn that big cymbal into a shield.
That's right. I'm Captain America.
Captain America, baby.
Got it going on. You know, we haven't talked about your uncle Ray Bryant.
Yeah.
Well, first, your mom. I mean, your uncle himself told me at your house where there was a celebration of your uncle's 50th anniversary in show business. And I was at that event.
Yeah.
And we looked in the other room and there was that organ. And I said to Ray, I said, you play that? I said, your sister does though, right?
All right.
How is that? And he said, I don't even go in that room when she's sitting down there.
Yeah, because my grandmother would not allow my mother to play anything other than classical and gospel. Meanwhile, Ray and Tommy would climb out the window to go do gigs at night, and they weren't supposed to, but, you know, it was back in the day in Philly, and it was the Showboat, and it was Peps and all this, you know, so.
Yeah.
So they played jazz, and my mom played classical and gospel.
Now, we're talking about Kevin's uncles, and you could call this, for all practical purposes, you could call it a garage band. Mm-hmm. That they had with people like Benny Golson and Jimmy Heath and John Coltrane. What was your garage band like in Philly?
It was really more like Earth, Wind, and Fire and James Brown and, you know, Sly and the Family Stone. That's what I grew up playing first, was all of that music, you know. And we just had our funk bands, and it was the basement. We had the basement bands, and when we got too loud, my mom would flick the lights from up the staircase, and that meant to turn it down or turn it off. So we had our systems, but we played every day. Growing up in Philly playing music was a wonderful experience, and it taught me so much, and I didn't know it at the time, but it was such a beautiful situation. We all played in bands our whole childhood growing up. The bands all over Philadelphia, every part of town had their own band. We were playing proms, dances, weddings, battle of the bands, and things like that. But in the process, what we did was work. We loaded equipment, we unloaded equipment, we rehearsed, we made arrangements of Cool and the Gang songs. We did this, we did that. We were, you know, learning our instrument to that extent. And at the same time, we had this camaraderie with with all the other musicians. So I grew up thinking that whenever you're in a band with best friends, and you're just having a blast. You know, we went out and ate cheesesteaks after we rehearsed and things like that. We, you know, of course, we stayed at the schoolyard a lot and played basketball, too, and stuff like that, because one block against the next block, whatever. But mostly through the whole, you know, I don't know, 12 through 18 years old, we're playing with the band, and everybody was best friends, and we all cared about the music and each other. So I grew up thinking that whenever you're in a band, you're best friends. You're in this club, you know, until I got to New York, and I saw the bass player and the drummer arguing. I was like, whoa, I'm not used to this. I mean, my dream was like everybody's just, you know. And then when I got into the professional ranks, then I saw like, oh, these cats are serious about this music. You know, I was like, you pushing the beat, you pulling the beat, you know. And then you get on the bandstand and it's all beautiful.
Kevin Eubanks is with us and it's all beautiful all morning here on WBGO. He's playing with a quartet, Nicholas Payton, and also Jeff Tane Watts, and the great bassist Dave Holland. They're at Birdland through Saturday night, I believe.
Yes,
Saturday
it.
Night
yeah.
in New York City, a couple shows each night. And the big show here this morning is Kevin's agreed to come down and hang out and play some tunes. The opening track we heard is a piece called Adoration. And you can tell by his opening comments that it's not just people that make up the word adoration, but it's a sense memory, and it's a thing, and it's geography, and it's just living one's life and growing up, in his case, in Philly and informing his music. Stick around. He's going to be with us all morning on WBGO. I don't know how somebody who's playing till all hours of the night can come down here in the morning and hang out and sound so chipper and look so tuned in as he does. It's got to be the veganism of Kevin Eubanks, who's with us on Morning Jazz today. Kevin, thank you for coming by and visiting. You got a new record called East West Timeline. Now, these are two separate entities that have come together, or two different sense memories that we're talking about?
Basically, the East Timeline, is the whole timeline thing is kind of like my music geographic history and with all that goes with it. The first half was on the East Coast, mostly in New York, you know, after school and after Philly.
Well, we talked about Philly, and you came in the early 80s, I think, to New York City.
Came in after playing with Art Blakey's group, which was just a wonderful, I mean, that was blew my mind.
Sam Rivers, too, huh?
Sam Rivers and Roy Haynes, Slide Hampton, Ronnie Matthews, all
How'd
these
you,
guys,
who
James
I
Williams.
Mean, and, did you just walk up to these people and say, hey, you know, I'm Kevin Eubanks. I'm from Philadelphia. I like cheesesteaks and funk, and I like Earth, Wind, and Fire, jazz.
It was more like, who's the kid at the end of the bar nursing a beer for three sets at Bradley's? who had a quarter in his pocket to go get a falafel so he could stay in New York. It was more like that.
And part of his timeline would eventually be that he would end up making a live record with James Williams and others at Bradley's and probably had to buy beer for everybody in the house.
Oh, man, those were the days, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was coming up in New York. That was wonderful. You know, it's just a lovely experience. Everything that I had wished for. So all I really wanted to do was just practice and practice because, you know, people are pretty good around here. So, but Roy Haynes gave me a good break, too, between Art Blakey, who basically got me into New York, and then Roy Haynes, and then everything started rolling a bit after that, and Bruce Lundvall signed me to do some records. And so things started getting, you know, started getting pretty good.
Well, it seems to be, you know, if there's an MO or a bit of advice that you would give to somebody who was in their 20s like you were when you first came and were trying to develop and things, mm-hmm. and that would be, you know, stay open. Don't be shuttered, don't be myopic, mm-hmm. and don't charge in, mm-hmm. you know, without looking around you, because you may have missed the most important part of the day, mm-hmm. right?
Well, one of the things you get from playing with people like Art and Haynes, McCoy, I even got a couple gigs in there with McCoy Tyner, Jimmy Smith, that was a dream come true. Phil Upchurch, he called me up and said, man, I can't make it's a week with Jimmy that I can't make. Would you do it? I was like, I said, Phil, you're my best friend. Thank you. So I got a weekend with Jimmy Smith, which was, because I grew up listening to Jimmy Smith. My mom and dad just loved, they had a whole rack of Jimmy Smith records. So he started doing his little turnarounds that he used to do, and I'll be right on. He's like,
you do it. That's a great Jimmy Smith impression too.
So coming up with those guys, you not only learn the music, but you learn the culture of the music, which is more pervasive. That gives you something different. Everything gets deeper after that.
And the culture informs every different musical environment that you may find yourself in, whether it be a quintet or sitting with a big band or maybe a Latin-infused performance, mm-hmm. or I'm thinking even a duet performance like mm-hmm. you had with Stanley Jordan. In fact, right. you guys had a record called Duet. Right. You went out and toured around the world. You still use that same kind of...
Oh, it's a beautiful thing, and it just runs on its own. You know, you meet somebody and say, oh, well, let's do this tour. And you, before you know it, you're off doing it. You're writing music and you're doing it. It's and then you meet somebody. For instance, Dave Holland and I play together so often. We have for many, many years. And it turns out both of us had this very wonderful experience playing with Sam Rivers. And it's a connection that happened between that. As I loved playing with Sam. I played for Sam maybe about 2.5, 3 years maybe. Very, very wonderful experience. And Sam and I talked a lot of times in the dressing room about life, about the planet, about the music. And we had a very good connection for the brief time I played with him. It was about 2.5 years. And somehow, you know, of course, Dave did like an extensive playing with Sam. But I think that connection... is there when Dave and I play together, because we just love playing together with each other in a different configurations. So all of that, it's kind of like a river of music, of feeling, of culture that runs through all of us. And you connect with other musicians, and sometimes it just flows just like water, because it's all touching each other. It may look like, and it may be categorized as, you play this kind of music and this person plays that kind of music, and you played in this decade and you recorded in this and that and the other, but that's an illusion, because it's trying to separate the oceans of the world. You cannot do it. It's all from the same source, and it all shares, it all goes in and out and in and out, and it's a natural thing. Plus, the whole thing is spinning, the whole thing is turning. So it's more like that, this idea that we're separate, you're over here, I'm over there. No, it's just an illusion. For some reason, we need to separate everything and put it in this category and all that. But all we're doing is really making it harder for us to communicate.
We're talking about together at Birdland through the week, this kind of attitude. You can put yourself in the middle of it. Kevin Eubanks, Nick Payton on trumpet, Jeff Tane Watts, been sitting behind the kit, and the double bassist extraordinaire, NEA jazz master, Dave Holland. They are at Birdland through the week. Kevin Eubanks hanging out with us this morning, all the way down that attitude from many people down to one. Here's Kevin and the Gershwins. Thank you.
Birthday cake is starting to look pretty good.
You don't want to pick up that guitar. Damn, two pieces of cake sound like Art Tatum on that guitar. Right? On an empty stomach, and then, right? Be playing like Art Tatum, and then, where's Kev?
I'm going to tear up a falafel when I get out of here, man.
He's down for
helpless
the count.
Falafel falling all out the side of the pita bread. I really lived on that stuff down in McDougal, man, for years.
Right next to
when I used to be in that chess shop that was next door. I'd be peeking through to watching them play. I love playing chess. And it was a falafel joint right next door. And I talked to a guy into putting feta cheese in the falafel. And he'd never done it before. I said, what if, you know, put feta cheese in it? So he's, I'll put it in there. Because he felt, you know, I used to hang out in there. I mean, they were like 50 cents then. And, so he tasted it. This is the guy that ran the shop, and he said, that's really good. So he put it on a chalkboard with feta cheese. You add 25 cents or 20 cents or something. And he said people started buying it. So he would always give me a falafel with feta cheese without charging me for it. I said, that's all I get? Free cheese? You're selling like that's it, man. You know,
it's a little after 8:30 in the morning. Maybe you've just finished your breakfast. Maybe you haven't even thought about it yet. Kevin Eubanks is thinking back. It's part of his timeline, talking about McDougal Street back in the early 80s. I actually went to that joint.
All right.
And then at night, I went around. And remember the joint where you played tic-tac-toe against the chicken?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the chicken always won, remember? Chicken always won. He's probably on the plate by now. I don't know. But it's part of somebody's timeline, but we're chatting this morning with Kevin Eubanks, and the new record called East West Timeline just came out about a week ago,
right,
on the Motema or on the Mac Avenue record label, and Kevin's celebrating it this week at Birdland, and then he's going to continue celebrating it on tour. We'll talk to him about that in just a bit, but Dave Holland will be there on the bass, Nicholas Payton on the trumpet, Jeff Tane Watts on the drums, And on the record, another Philly soul.
Oh, yeah.
By the name of Orrin Evans at the piano.
That's right.
Although he won't be at the gig, but he's on this record, man, and he's that's another good spirit. Were you guys part of the same running bunch?
No. Orrin actually hung out with my younger brothers. They all went to school together, right? So we had that little bit of separation in there. We had about a 10-year, 11-year separation there. But Orrin always was checking out the records that I did and things like that. And I didn't know that. And he's, oh, man, I was hanging out with your brothers and I found your old notebook where you reharmonized this song and this song. And he got all of that stuff, right? And I was like, man. So as, you know, what we just spoke about, you know, after a while, we just started playing and hanging out and doing things. I think Orrin and I are going to do a lot of things together. I played on his last record, he played on this record beautifully, too. And we're going to start doing some duo shows together. And we're going to work up and do a nice recording with just guitar and piano. So we're in the process of doing that now. We're doing some duo gigs.
See, in his start in music, and when you talk to him about the inspiring moments in his life, you know, it's just like you, man. It's all about family moments.
Yeah.
And then you look at the diversity of what he's been able to do with his different incarnations. And if you go to WBGO.org, you'll see our own Nate Chenin's review, not a review, but an article about the fact that Ethan Iverson is leaving his band, and Orrin Evans is going to be the new pianist.
Yeah, he told me about
that.
That's nice.
That'll be a good thing for him. Another incarnation in his timeline.
Yeah, music is beautiful, man. It just flows.
Well, you mentioned earlier this morning, if you weren't up yet, folks, you've already missed a lot. But you talked about, you know, the number of people, musical people that you come in contact with that remain friends, you know, that through true, genuine dialogue, not look at me play and then you play and see if you can do better than I can and my technique beats your technique.
what a useless waste of time.
It is, isn't it? But you can hear it when it's like that, can't you?
Yeah.
I know.
That's one thing I love about jazz music, is it really is at its best. Everybody gets to be an individual, and all the individuals are creating the whole. So it's the most democratic system that I've come in contact with. You can still be yourself, but at the same time, you're supporting the entire group at the same time. The bass player's doing their thing. The drummer's doing their thing. But you're all supporting this song. And if there's a speaker, if there's a soloist, you're supporting that soloist. You want that soloist to have the best environment possible to express what they want to say. But you still get to be who you are while you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful model for society.
Yeah, it sure is.
You know, and sometimes you're playing and you say, wow, this cat really is playing long solos tonight and really intense, you know. And you know, it's like, I want to get a couple notes in there. Then you start to think, well, maybe he's going through something right now. Maybe he needs to express something more tonight. Maybe this is a beautiful platform for him to do it. So let him do his thing. Maybe that's exactly what he needs tonight. So you can support them by just laying out sometimes. Let him get that, you know, when you feel like he kind of relaxing a little bit, he got a little bit of that energy out. And it could be happy things, too. It could just be some beautiful news, and he just can't keep it in, and he's letting it out. Just support that, too, by supporting him with music or with silence, which is also music.
And to find that level of maturity to be able to let someone else do that and go over here and let this happen and let this happen all around you with you not necessarily being in the middle of the activity or the center of attention.
I remember I was doing a doing a gig one time with Smitty, Marvin Smitty Smith, and he was just on fire.
Yeah.
And I said, give him the ball. Shoot it, man. Three-pointers all night long. You know what I mean? But sometimes if you got the hot hand, let it fly, you know? And that's the beautiful thing about music. You learn a lot about yourself and about taking direction, giving direction, listening, speaking when you really have something to say. It's a beautiful education at the same time, which this is off point a little bit, but I have no idea why they pull such a wonderful system of education out of the educational system, because you have an art form and you have to listen, you have to show up. So everybody in the group, whether it's a high school orchestra, elementary school group or whatever it is, it teaches you so much at the same time. You're working with other people. It's creative, so you have a certain amount of compassion that goes along with that, because it's creative, and along with creativity goes compassion. You listen to each other. If you can't hear the person next to you, that means you're too loud. It comes together as a group. You see what coming together as a group can create. So all of these things are the exact tools you need to deal with society and to grow and function in society and live your life.
You hear what the first word he said, and the word that he repeated at least three times in that thought was the word listen. Kevin Eubanks, Listen, Timeline, from WBGO. Thank you. Last hour on WBGO, we talked, as we've been hanging out all morning, with Kevin Eubanks. This is great. Can you come back tomorrow, man?
Man, if you put some food in front of me right now, I'll be here all night.
That's the thing. Starve them and then don't let them leave until you're done talking.
No, man, I just want to take a minute to thank WBGO for what you all do here. Is just a beautiful thing for not just for the musicians, but for the listeners and just in general. It does so much for people that it's hard to put into words. You can turn on this station and hear a beautiful art form from all the musicians coming from whatever time period up to current. It's just beautiful. And all of this is recreated all over the world. When I play clubs in the States, I try to remind the people there that maybe we take this for granted, a place like Birdland, but you go to Stockholm, you go to Switzerland, you go anywhere, you go to St. Petersburg, and they are trying to recreate what has happened here. So don't take this for granted, and when you have radio stations that are free to play this kind of music, you are not going to get this everywhere around the world. This 24 hours, you turn it on, you're plugged in to something, to some emotion that you have. This music is not coming to pick your pocket. This is kind of trying to pick your heart. This is bringing your emotions to the surface. And you may not notice it at the time, but let that station go off and see what kind of void that you start feeling.
Yeah, you'll reach in your pocket and you'll support something that... that goes as deeply as what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, and it's not just a, a public radio station that plays jazz music. I mean, it's anything that is that deeply part of your life or your own timeline that deserves support.
Yes.
Without really beating you over the head about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a logical thing to do. The arts enrich people's lives, whether they become musicians or not. And the enrichment for Kevin Eubanks and his friends, Nicholas Payton on trumpet and Dave Holland on bass and Jeff Tane Watts on the drums, their discussion and their discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not leave that word out either because they're there all week, but there are new discoveries being made. Earlier this morning, in fact, we started the morning with a piece called Adoration, and while Kevin was warming up to play it, he stopped and he went, "Ooh, a new chord." Sure as hell got my attention.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing,
a
man.
A new chord,
and I'm so happy to be playing with these musicians with Nick and Tane and Dave. I mean, these are incredible musicians, and I just feel so blessed to be able to share some music with them all week. I love these guys, and they've given so much to the music, and it's just a lovely way to spend the week.
And we've mentioned, but not really focused on, the West Coast part of that timeline. You alluded to Smitty Smith. A minute ago, but also Rene Camacho, who we heard on Zen Food, on bass, and Mino Sinilu on percussion, and your old buddy Bill Pierce, I'm going to guess, from back Berkeley days.
From Berkeley days, and we played together with Art Blakey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy's my man, and he does a beautiful rendition of My One and Only Love on this Timeline record. It just... really, really sweet. I even listened to it it's a classic version of it.
And we're going to listen to it right now at WBGO. Thank you.
Thank you.
all morning we've been chatting with, hanging out with Kevin Eubanks. It's always a treat. Some of you may remember once upon a time I actually left this radio station and I moved back to the Midwest. And I think I was out there 2 or 3 days. And one of my coworkers here, Dorothan, called me out there and said, "Hey, I got somebody in my office. Here he was." And I said, "Okay." So, and on the phone comes Kevin Eubanks. And he says, "You're where? Cleveland? What the hell are you doing out there? You need to be back here. You know that, don't you?" And you know, it wasn't 6 or 7 weeks later that I was back here.
There you go.
You know, and you know, you make choices in your life,
yeah.
And the thing that can sometimes lead your life off the deep end is when you stop making choices.
Yeah, yeah. Funny thing about choices, when you really get to what you really need to do, there is no choice. What you need is the only thing that's in front of you to do.
Yeah.
When you have too many choices, it might mean you just don't know what to do. When you see that direction, that moment comes into your life, there's no choice about it. You do it. And it's a beautiful thing to know when that fork in the road comes, then you can look back and say, when I made that decision, I knew it was the thing, and you can see where that really took you.
Isn't that really the art of improvisation?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. That's what really informs that, keeps it fluid and
it.
Just keeps it moving.
Your being just goes, this is where we're going.
Your uncle was so good at that. I remember one night up at Caramore, a performance place north of the city, and he was doing a solo piano thing, and it was just marvelous to watch what he would go through. And you yourself told me that some of your uncle's favorite moments for you were actually some of his solo performances.
Oh yeah, 'cause you can hear that. That rockin' blues gritty thing in that left hand, and you just it's got a little church vibe into it, you know, which is where he came up from, because my grandmother, his mother, was a pastor of a church, and my mother played gospel, organ and piano, so he had that in him, just like I have blues in me, which I don't get to do much of, but I love playing blues. I really love playing blues. And so when I hear Ray really getting into it, I mean, it's got that kind of funky blues rocking, you know, like the little gospel grit right on the edge of it. Man, it's beautiful. And I wasn't hip to it for a while, but when I started listening to a lot of his solo things, that's when it really is like, oh, he got a little church in there.
Here's a taste of it now from Montreux, a piece that you like, called Little Susie. Ray Bryant's at the piano. I see what you mean, man. I see what you mean. Yeah, and that smile, man. You know, he sat at that piano right there, man, in our studio.
All right.
In our performance studio, and played not once.
All right.
But a couple of times.
Yeah.
And it was it was great moments. Kind of like, you know, this morning's been.
Yeah.
Been great. It's been fabulous hanging out. And as cool as this CD is, you know, Mac Avenue will understand if I say the ultimate thing is to see this music in the moment being performed live.
Oh, yeah.
And your opportunity is two sets a night through the remainder of the week, through Saturday night.
Through Saturday.
At Birdland in New York City. And it's Kevin Eubanks with NEA Jazz Master Dave Holland on the bass and Jeff Tane Watts on the kit. Boy, that's an engine in itself, isn't it?
We're rolling, man. And then we got Nick
and Nick
out there.
Payton on the trumpet. And you know, I got to say, I haven't heard enough of Nicholas Payton on the trumpet the way I know that trumpet can be when he's got a hand on it.
Oh, yeah. Nick is he's so open-minded about the music that he loves to play. And that's, I think, one of the qualities of this group that we're still discovering, word that you used earlier, that we're still discovering, like, that one of the charms, I think, of this group that we're finding out is that we all like to move it around. We all like to do this, and the creativeness of it is like, well, maybe we should stop here. We shouldn't rehearse that much. Let's lean on the unknown, because it seems like everybody has such a wonderful idea about releasing, you know, and creating things in the moment. Let's lean on that.
That makes all the sense in the world, because, you know, athletes will tell you, don't over practice, or you'll leave it there, you know,
right?
You'll leave it on the floor, and you won't do it when you show up.
Yeah.
Well, man, you sure did it showing up this morning.
Thanks for having me. This is beautiful.
This
beautiful,
is great. Man. Kevin Eubanks on Morning Jazz certainly saved my job this week, and will save you a lot of grief and probably, you know, maybe turn your week around if you stop by Birdland. Maybe you've been having one of those kind of weeks. I mean, this week, you know what this week is. This week is the Taxman week. This is where you write the check.
That's
and,
right.
And I know what you're going to be feeling like. So they never get it all now. But what you got left, go on down there to Birdland. Kevin Eubanks, Nicholas Payton, Dave Holland, and Jeff Tane Watts.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, that's a return that's bigger than any check you would ever get from the government. Thank you, man, for your smiles, your creative spirit, and for everything that is.
And thank you for doing what you do, and thank you, WBGO.
And with that in mind, I just think we should go out this morning with a bit of Eubanks improvisation.
That's good. I like that. We can do that.
And the joy that we feel in this room and the spirit, we can't call the tune Mistake.
No, I'm feeling a little talking about church and this and that. And, you know, I want to feel some joy in the world. I want to feel some joy in people's hearts. And no matter what's going on out there, no matter what you're seeing on television or hearing this and blah blah, you know, just keep your joy alive. So we're going to call this Joyful.
Kevin Eubanks. Thank you. That's the way a guitar player from Philly says amen. On stage all this week at Birdland with his quartet, Kevin Eubanks, on WBGO, the Jazz Source. You just saved my job today, man. Thank you for coming by. At Birdland, check them out, a quartet. Nicholas Payton, Dave Holland, and Jeff Tane Watts. And our guest, he's been here all morning, Kevin Eubanks, thank you for listening.